All right. Okay, solo episode from me today. Welcome to the podcast. As you know, this is Jake. And today, well, yeah, the truth is I'm really excited to make this presentation and make this podcast. So the end of June marked what is essentially the 6 month mark of creating the Jake Woodhouse podcast. And it's been already an awesome experience. There's been some ups, there's been some downs, and well, who knows where the future will take us. But I know deep down that this is something that I really, really, really enjoy doing and therefore can get extraordinarily good at. And it's that whole concept of like honing your craft. And whilst, yes, I am an investor, and yes, I am a father, and yes, I am interested in my own areas of life, outside of those other things, what am I going to get really, really, really good at? And it's this kind of idea of the art of conversation. And it only can come about through iteration and practice. You've got to do a lot of this stuff. Like whatever the thing is you want to hone as your craft, you've got to do it again and again and again and again and again. And it's only through that repetition that the expertise is developed, because you just, to excuse my French, you fucked it up so many times. And an example being, I got some feedback from my editor this morning. Shout out to Pat, who's been brilliant helping me out on the back end creating this. And also Michael is the producer. They've both done an awesome job helping me get this thing launched and up and running. And we're, you know, flying through the episodes now. Jake, you interrupted this guest a lot. And that really annoys me. Like, oh, okay, I've got to get better at bite your tongue, Jake. Just wait for the conversation to flow. You'll get an opportunity to speak. And just small things like that, that, you know, you just get better and better and better at it over time. Anyway, I'm going to share my screen and I'm going to run you through a couple of things that I think are interesting. You don't have to be watching this necessarily. You know, it'll work on audio as well. Just quite fun to run through some of this stuff. So first of all, so 6 months done. Come on. I knew back in whenever it was, probably almost a year ago, actually. It's like, I've got to get back into podcasting and doing it myself. You know, don't get sidetracked by other people who want you to be involved in their projects, whatever they're creating. It's actually get down to basics. What do you love doing? Do what you want to do and take the risk. Invest in yourself. So just a couple of things I wanted to make as bullet points. Like, so what's been easy over the last 6 months? Really simple answer, talking to people. It's epic. You get to meet so many different people as a podcaster. And every week I'm aiming to do 3 episodes, of which some of them I've actually done as solo recordings like this, and others are with guests. And I think it's probably about 80% guests thus far. And they're in different parts of the world with different stories, with a unique lens on the world. And I just, I never run out of questions. It's as simple as that. I find every person's set of decision-making that they've gone through fascinating. How did you end up where you are today? And so, yeah, really easy. What was easy? Talking to people. What was hard? Well, also quite straightforward. So I get a bit clogged up scheduling. And part of that has been because my wife and I have been quite mobile. So we've been changing time zone and we're also homeschooling like all day. So I've got this window after the kids are in bed at night of like 7 or 8 p.m. that works well. But equally, it's impossible to get all the correct time zones that you need if you just do that 8 p.m. slot. So it's like, okay, when during the daytime might work, then I've got to organize that she's not doing something and I've got to organize that someone's looking after the kids. And it's just a bit painful for me. Saying that, when you get in touch with people, it's extraordinary how easy it is to get people to become a guest. They just really like, yep, sure, I'll come on, boom, 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 and they're in. So it's not that there's a lack of guests. It's just that I am a bit stodgy with the process. So I've got a workflow that I have created where I'm basically taking a name as I come across someone else's content and I'm like inviting them, or have they been invited or are they scheduled? Has the podcast been produced? Which is kind of useful, obviously, is like a CRM database for like who's come on the show and who's like about to come on the show and who would you ideally like to have. And I feel it's important just from an energetics perspective. It's like no guest is unattainable as long as you do this for long enough, which is wild. Like at some stage, I will have been doing this podcast for years and years and years. And the kind of characters that today I would be like, well, they would never pay any interest in talking to me. That will slowly change, whether that be leaders of the nation state, whether that be, you know, world-class investors that I've been studying for a long time, whether that be entrepreneurs or political figures or celebrities of some kind. I don't know. The key is that they will be people that have done extraordinary things in their life and are willing to teach other people about how they got to becoming who they are today. And that's why it's fun here to have a podcast that's just branded as my name, because it means I can range absolutely anywhere. And if this is a multi-decade thing, which it is, that variability is crucial because it means I can just follow what I find interesting. And so to come back to scheduling, I must get better at this. And it's a case of like, okay, sit down, allocate some time to it. Who do you want to try and invite? I've been using Calendly, but even then, like the automated process of like filling specific slots up in a calendar, it kind of works nicely when people actually go on there and choose one. But like sometimes I just never hear from a guest. And in some way, it's just like, I've got this available. Are you in? And I should just do it manually, perhaps. Like whatever is the least of a friction for the potential guest. At the same time, I guess part of it is also just admitting to the flow of things. Like if someone doesn't really feel like spending their time with you, they're not going to come on. And if they're not going to really feel like spending time with you, they frankly shouldn't come on, because the conversation quality won't be as high as someone who's like, oh, I'm really pumped. I've seen Jake bashing out all this cool content, had some really fascinating guests on. I learned a little bit from this show. I did some research on Jake on this show and actually interested to ask me questions too. And that just brings a deeper and richer and more organic process to the conversation, which is what I think the magic is. It's not about having, here are 10 questions and I'm going to ask you these ones and you can prepare these ones. No, it's about feeling and about going, okay, where does this person want to go with this conversation? What do they want to talk about? And just let it happen. So that was a long answer to like what was hard. But yeah, so scheduling is the one area that I really want to get on top of. I guess the final point being is I still think it's very, very important that I do this myself, because as the host of the conversation, if I was to outsource the scheduling process to someone like a Michael or a Pat who are already working alongside me, I could do that and say, guys, these are the podcast slots I've got available. Fill them up with these names. Go. But what does that feel like for the potential guest? Does that feel like a nice invitation? Or is it actually, oh, I heard you on this podcast. Hi, my name's Jake. I thought you were brilliant. I'd love you to come on my podcast. Are you keen? It's a very different sell. It's like an actual handshake. And I also really love warm introductions. Something I did after 50 episodes was go to all the previous 50 guests and say, can you introduce me to one person that you'd like to see come on the show? And half of them didn't reply. Totally fine. The half that did, some were like, can't think of anyone right now. Or, oh, here's actually four names. Boom, 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 emails to all of them. And you've got conversations now going with a whole heap more guests that you, in some cases, never even heard of. And that's what's fun about this kind of networking process that is podcasting. So to move on to the next bullet point, what are you happy about? Well, my conviction growth is awesome. I can feel it. It's like I know in my deepest, deepest heart, this is something I'm going to do for a long, long time. And so the only way to fail is to stop. And so when I have those difficult moments, like, oh, this scheduling process is a pain in the ass. Oh, I've run out of guests. Oh, I've got no new content and like I need to put something out tomorrow. Do the work, Jake. And it's in the work that the interesting part of this comes out. Because no one's an overnight success. That's a complete and utter load of horseshit. And we all know that. So this is the proof of work. It's the hard yards when it's like, oh, that video got 4 views on YouTube. it's dreadful. Like, what's the point of even doing it? But the point is the repetition. It's the crunch. It's the hard yards that you do on the way to the place you're trying to get to. And for me, this is like, try to build a genuinely world-class podcast. And that means having really hard conversations with really interesting people and having no fear whatsoever about subject topic. Like, oh, the self-censoring that's going on and the like, oh, I'm going to get kicked off this platform. That is, to me, that's a vicious virus that is attacking truth, honesty, and genuine conversation. And that has to be ignored. And we just got to forge forwards. And what's fun in some ways is realizing like how many different things I thought were true or that I've always believed, but like, are they true? Why do you know that? Why were you told that? That's a conversation for another time. Some other areas I'm really happy about is inbound inquiry. So I'm starting to see people approach me and say, oh, Jake, I saw this, really keen. Can I come on the show? And, or someone who will come up shortly running a media agency, helping businesses raise money or raise their general like brand awareness or whatever they might be working on, saying, hey, Jake, I've got these like four or five business founders that would be really good guests for you. Would you like to come on? That's Phil. Phil's going to be recording with me in a couple of weeks' time. I said, well, actually, Phil, I'd like to talk to you first before you make these introductions. Like, who are you and what's brought you to this point? And how do you see an opportunity to build a media business in this niche that we really like, being predominantly Bitcoin, but also just the wider kind of freedom tech conversation? So inbound inquiry is picking up. And then finally, feedback. Like I get DMs from people where they're like, Jake, I really love what you're doing. It's really authentic. Don't stop. And you're like, wow, what incredible feedback. Or you see comments and it's slowly picking up. Now, next point. So what opportunities arose? One of the things I learned about Bitcoin, about podcasting with the project that was Bitcoin with Jake, is that the balance sheet of that podcast was basically break even. When I looked at how much it cost me to create, I didn't pay myself at all. And I had Pat helping me produce it on the back end. And I had a couple of sponsorship contracts. It basically, it just about washed its face. And that was a year's worth of podcasting. And what's not an obvious benefit from a kind of balance sheet perspective is the opportunities that come out of it, whether they be business startups, whether they be investments, whether they be friends that you didn't know you would come across, or just generally the intellectual investment that you're making. So you just learn so much about what people are doing, what works, what doesn't work, where's really interesting. And frankly, like it you build an edge, right? Like you are getting more and more and more and more wisdom. And for that, that's priceless. Right. And that's why I always recommend to people, start podcasting. Start today. Get your first guests on. I'll do the 30-day challenge with you. You will get your first episode out within 30 days if you do this coaching. And people want to. They're keen, which is great. So specific opportunities. So Sitlantis, shout out to Alex Fetsky and what they're doing. I'm about to make my first early stage equity investment in over 5 years. The business is a fascinating kind of Noster Bitcoin AI play. And it's the first thing I've come across that I'm like, that's a really, really interesting business. And as a person that's studied investing for many years now, like what was it actually like in the 90s investing in internet companies? It's the stuff of legend in many ways. Or equally, some of the more kind of famous content players that you might come across, like a Gary Vee or something, they put money into Twitter, the very start. Like, what is the equivalent of Twitter today? Well, in my opinion, Sitlantis is something like that. Now, obviously, it's not the same business because it's going to build out on different technology rails and we're 20 years down the line, right? But the point is like this has that flavor. That's worth a bet. What's the downside? All your money's gone. What's the upside? Well, holy shit, this could be Instagram combined with Google Maps combined with TripAdvisor. That's something very, very exciting. Shout out to Costa, who's building Minotaur trading systems. I have yet to action this. Check out one of my previous episodes from a week or so ago where I talked about the opportunity of taking leverage on your Bitcoin with some kind of self or non-custodial leverage player like a Debify or a Firefish, and then taking that stablecoin and trading it using the Minotaur trading bot. Now, because of creating this podcast, I'm always looking for opportunities out of it. Do I definitely want to sell adverts? I have some sponsor contracts, the kind of traditional media play, maybe. But actually, I could also sell my own products. I could have some kind of ebook or whatever you might want to sell. Or equally, if it's just driving returns through investments that I can make, well, that wipes its face on its own. And this would be a good way of potentially doing that. Finally, I had one conversation with Diana, who's organizing the Indonesia Bitcoin Conference in September this year. Shout out to her and the team that are creating that. I was the MC for the first Indonesia Bitcoin Conference in Bali, which was an awesome experience. And I was interested in doing the latest one that they're creating. Now, the truth is, it didn't align in terms of where I'm actually going to be in the world, and I can't do it. But it's a good opportunity that came out of this podcasting process that is continuing to evolve. So in my opinion, I wouldn't be MC of events like that had I not run a podcast. So another opportunity to run through that for you. Now, the second half of this episode is going to really be running through some of the actual data that's being created. And I'm very, very excited by the initial traction that is clearly there. So what does the data say? Well, according to my calculations, the content that we have created as a result of this podcast has had around 250,000 views over the last 6 months. Now, the truth is, I didn't actually have a figure as to what to aim for, but now I've got this initial kind of data set. The aim is in year one, we want to hit 1 million views. So I've got another 6 months to hit 750. An important part of this is acknowledging that like different platforms work differently and everything's kind of evolving. So I want to try and measure the same stuff, but it's not always possible to do. A context here being that iTunes, within the last 12 months, I couldn't say exactly when, updated their auto-download function. And so people who were selling adverts based on downloads suddenly saw their numbers radically change because people had been auto-downloading a show they subscribed to, but then never listening to any of the episodes. I've done this myself, right? You're like, oh, I'll follow that show. And suddenly the podcast player starts downloading every single episode that comes through. It's like, well, I didn't actually ask it to do that, and I haven't listened to any of them. So I would have looked like a listener when I wasn't. And so that's something just to bear in mind, is that the playing field changes. And if I was to sell exposure, that's how I would think of it, like if a brand wants to partner with me for the exposure I can give them, I'm going to give it to them in lots of different ways. So one is long form podcast episodes, but then it's also medium clips, and then it's short form clips. And you get a different type of person looking at different things. But what I like to think of it as is a funnel, so that the short form clips act as a kind of top of funnel. And they're like, oh, that was a good 60 or 90 seconds of someone talking and some B-roll footage and maybe some music. And shout out to Pat, who's really done a lot of work at improving on that. And I'm 100% going to back him to continue to learn more. And I've invested in some teaching programs and things like that to actually like upskill the team, which is a big part of this. Like the content we pump out today versus what we'll do a year from now versus what we'll do 5 years from now, it's going to be orders of magnitude better in terms of quality. Anyway, I'm trying to track the same things. So just to run you through some of these tabs I've got open. Made a post on Noster. So 6 months since I launched the podcast, 224,000 views across all platforms. You can see here a screenshot of the different platforms and the totals. I'll take you through that sheet at the end of these tabs. Now, shout out to Fishcake, who creates Noster.build. And the numbers aren't quite the same here. It's not 46K unique hits. But I wasn't able to track how many views the content I was posting on Noster was getting. And so that's what I'll take you through first. So this is the back end of Noster.build. So I've posted tons of content using this product. And, you know, some of them are still images, some of them are short form clips, some of them are medium clips, some of them are, you know, full long form episodes. What wasn't possible until this weekend, shout out to Fishcake for this work, is to look at the stats. So you can see here, I've had 21,300 unique hits. So you have to be very careful how you calculate these things. If you put up a 5 minute long video and the same user looks at it like five times, that should not necessarily count as five hits. It's one user. So if you were to sell an advert as a use case, that's just one person that saw it, not five. And so doctoring these numbers or massaging these numbers to make it look like more people are seeing your stuff long term is not the way to play this game. It also distorts what is valuable, i.e. when I'm creating stuff, I can then see what people resonated with the most because of the performance of the content. So first and foremost, what's useful about this data is to understand, well, that's what we should create more of. And what was really fun and what I didn't know until now is that this video with Max Hillebrand, shout out to Max, was the most popular. And I believe it's just a short clip of part of the episode that we did together. 993 unique hits. So that's almost 1,000 views, which on my YouTube stats, you'll see soon, is actually, it's right up there with some of the most popular content I posted on YouTube in the last 6 months, which is not something you would have guessed. It's like, hang on a second. So Nosta has got me 21,000 unique hits in 6 months, but no one uses Nosta. Don't post content there. That's a waste of time. Well, this clearly shows you that that's not true. Now, what's going to be quite fun is over time, and it hasn't been built yet, you'll be able to see, you know, what day these hits were from, the unique hits, what week, what month. You'll be able to see geographic areas. You'll be able to see which client they came through. So you can see here Primal, Yakihone, Jumble.social, something I've not even heard of. Like, what client is that? I need to go and check that out. Next up is Rumble. Now, interestingly, I've been calculating raw views, but now I see there's also a unique views metric. So perhaps that's what I should be calculating if that's what I'm doing with Nosta. So maybe I need to rejig my numbers a little bit there. Again, I don't want the data to lie to myself, first and foremost, and therefore I should do this properly. I use Spotify still on the back end for the RSS feeds. I'd be interested on moving to Fountain very soon. So I'm going to have a look at what they've built. Shout out to the team there. They're doing really, really cool stuff. And interestingly, of my RSS feed listeners, over half of them come from Fountain. I think we can even see that here. Streams and downloads. Audience. You can see demographics. You can see age. There's so much stuff here. Here we go. Apps. Look at that. Fountain, 49.5% of the listens that I've received. Oh, that's in the last 30 days. Let's do all time. Look at that. 62% of the RSS feed listens I've had as a podcast thus far have been on Fountain. I would never, ever have guessed that. Now, this has been a flop, no doubt about it. TikTok. Why did I post on TikTok? Chinese spying platform, to be blunt. Because there's a ton of people that use TikTok. So why wouldn't you? But this has been a complete fail. Like, no one's looked at it. And so we actually stopped posting. It's like, what's the point of giving energy to this thing when it's not working? Now, maybe what I need to do is bring into the team some kind of TikTok specialist and say, look, here's our database of content. You know how to make TikTok work. Go. That's not something I've done yet. And I might consider it. So if anyone's listening is a TikTok expert, do reach out because it's something that I might well invest into. But an important point that you may have heard me talk about before is that I'm so bullish on Nosta, more so now than I was even 6 months ago, because of the fact you own the data. It is user-centric. If you keep that MPUB and NSEC separate and no one ever gets hold of it from you, all of the data that you post using the Nosta protocol is uncensorable. It cannot be deleted because of the way the relays function. Or it's very, very difficult to shut down, I think is a better way of saying it. So it's kind of like posting early YouTube videos, but knowing that you will always keep the history of your MPUB and NSEC key pair. Like, this is massive, absolutely massive. You think about the problems that people have getting deplatformed from the likes of YouTube. If you've been a US-based TikTok player until recently, they just switched you off, right? With Nosta, it completely flips that game and you're in control, which is great. Now, I guess this is unsurprising in a sense, but Twitter has been the most important place for the content that I've posted. I'm not measuring impressions on Twitter. I'm actually looking at just video. So 1 year, yeah, I mean, I've only been going that. So 55,000 views from all the video we've posted. So that's the long form episodes, the medium clips, the short clips. Wow, that's not bad at all. And then here on YouTube, again, this is all time. So 56,000 on YouTube as well. So YouTube, Twitter, pretty similar to each other. So, okay, is that where I think we'd end up? I don't know. What always blows my idea is the watch time. 1.8, so 1,800 hours of time people have spent on YouTube watching the content that I've posted. And I haven't even put up 100 episodes, right? So that's just, in some ways, a metric that I really love because it's like, how much time do people spend watching your stuff? It's like 1,800 hours on YouTube on its own. That's absolutely nuts. Let's go back to Nosta quickly. Was there a, no, there's no time spent yet, but I'm sure that will come. Here's the summary data. So I'm not selling adverts. So in some ways, it doesn't matter because I don't have a financial contract in the back end of this that I've been massaging the numbers for. But what's also fun to then look through here, so you can see where the bulk of the views are coming from. Right? Now, the standout number for me is how many views have come from Noster. I didn't run through Instagram because you can only see it on the mobile, but Noster's double the amount of views that I've got posting on Instagram. That's massive. Double the amount of views of what I've done posting on Rumble. That's massive. What I think is most interesting to look at, though, is the growth. And so you can see each month here, aside from May to June, which saw a downtrend in the numbers, like generally speaking, it's getting higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. So, for example, on the RSS feed, so the month one, 61 streams, month two, 224, then 126, then 230, then 286, and finally 370. So, okay, YouTube, 1700, 7700, 7200, 10,000, 15,000, and then a down month of 11,000. I'll go back to these Twitter numbers. I'll have to double check them, of course, but initially 10,000 and 14,000 to 20,000 to 28,000 to 32,000 to 44,000. Each month, you're kind of compounding. So although it seems in a contrarian sense, like you post something and then it just disappears. You post it and it disappears. Like, what is the point in doing that? Well, the point is the audience that you collect along the way, they might click subscribe, they might click follow, however they choose to keep up with what you're putting out there, they continue to look at the stuff that you put out there. And that's why consistency is so important. So according to the numbers that I've created yesterday, again, I'll double check that Twitter analytics, not uncommon for it to spit out different numbers from day to day. I'm not far off. So here, 245,095 views. I'm absolutely pumped with that. But the main thing that it does is it gives me a data point. So, okay, 6 months in, we hit 250,000 views across all video content and podcast content that we've posted. That's short form clips, medium clips, long form. The next step is let's hit 1,000,000 by, you know, January the 1st of 2026. And as of that point onwards next year, it's highly likely that I'm going to team up with some sponsorship partners and sell some adverts. And generally speaking, always was like year one, get the content going, get the content going, have a little team, make sure the workflow is functioning, get really, really good at asking questions, get back in the groove, get your name out there. Year two was going to be about revenue generation and thinking about how do you actually want to make money out of this thing. Now, in some ways, I really love the fact that I'm not selling adverts. And maybe I don't have to. If I don't have to, what does that mean for the audience member? Now, at the end of the day, this is always going to be something that I'm doing for myself because I find it interesting. I like speaking to the people that come on the podcast because I find them interesting. And the day that I start associating with a brand that I don't find interesting, or that I start chasing sponsorship dollars, or that I start getting wooed by people throwing stuff at me that I'm actually not interested in, is the day that I have to have a really long, hard think about why. Why are you doing this? And it's currently very clear to me why I am, but the point is just don't get distracted, Jake. Carry on doing what you want to do, and that's to build a world-class podcast. And I'm going to do that. So thank you for listening to today's episode. It's very interesting to run through how this actually works on the back end. At least I find it fascinating. Reach out if you have any questions. Hi at jakewoodhouse.io. And yeah, enjoy the podcast. Thank you so much.